The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it's accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds who were there following, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. That's what happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, how many of you were taught as a little child not to play with matches? All of us, right? Yeah. Don't play with matches. And I was one of those kids who was told, don't play with matches. You're not supposed to do that. My dad told me that. My mom, teachers, you know, you name it, whoever was your mentor. Don't play with matches. I mean, look at a match and analyze it. What is it? It's a piece of wood, if you're looking at stick matches. It's a piece of wood with some sulfur on it, right? There's not much to a match. So I can think of a lot of other things you shouldn't be playing with besides a little piece of wood with some sulfur, right? What's so dangerous about a match? What harm can they do? Well, it isn't the match in and of itself, right? It's the potential that a match has to light a fire. Now, fire has its own risk. Those who have been around fires that have gone out of control, you know, they can be horrific, horrendous, very destructive. At times they can do good things too, but many times the fire, we say there's been a fire, it's not like in a stove somewhere, it's a bad thing. In 2016, up in the Great Smoky Mountains, a couple teenage boys, guess what they were doing? Playing with matches. Up on a trail up there in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, walking along Two Tops Trail, and they decided that they'd just throw some matches around. I don't know what possessed them to do that, but they did. They threw some matches around, and guess what? A fire started. And later, as some of you probably remember, 10,000 acres were burned, and 14 people died. And who knows how many thousands of buildings and other structures were destroyed. All because somebody had ignited a fire that got out of control. Today's text is an odd one. What did you guys just sing? Go back and look at the third verse. You want Jesus to bring peace on earth, right? That's not what the Bible just said. He says, just the contrary. He says, do you think I have come to bring peace? No. The first thing he starts out with our text today is, I have come to throw fire on the world. The original is kind of like more like casting, throwing fire. That's very different from what we just sang in our hymn today, sermon hymn. Throw fire? And then he puts right next to that in the next verse, he says, I have a baptism to undergo, and oh, I wish I could already do it. It's a difficult thing for me. But fire and baptism. You put those together, you kind of think of what? The Holy Spirit, right? Talk about tongues of fire at Pentecost and other occasions where baptism is linked to the Holy Spirit. So what is Jesus referring to? I assume he's referring to some very catastrophic, significant event in the near future, or maybe the distant future. And what would that be that Jesus would say it would consume the earth? He wanted to cast fire on the earth. Well, I think of one event that took place many centuries before that. That was a great global flood, right? There was one huge catastrophic event that forever changed the world in which we live. All was destroyed but a few people and some animals. Changed the face of the earth. Probably unrecognizable to no one in his kin. Wow, what's happened here? What a horrific, changing, catastrophic, disturbing event. Great discord in that event. There's another that happened in some of your lifetimes. Pales in comparison, but it was pretty significant, and it was man-made. Happened in 1945 in Japan. For the first time, and last time, we hope, men unleashed atomic warfare. The potential thermonuclear war began to exist in humankind, where much of life could be destroyed. Much of our planet could be destroyed. It changed how people thought about war engaging in total conflict. It's a horrific thing. A little bomb could ignite such a thing. So, let's go back to the text. What is Jesus saying to his disciples? Remember, he's talking to his disciples right now. What is he teaching them? What is he telling them? What's he trying to get into their minds, and into their hearts, into their souls? Something is about to happen that's going to set the world on fire. And oh, I wish we were already done. Well, it's the seminal event of human history. It's the singular event that forever divides humanity into believer and unbeliever. It's the cross. Soon Jesus would undergo suffering and death at the hands of men. There he would suffer and die, atoning for the sins of humanity, and rise on the third day. This was a seminal event of all human history. And believe you me, it did not bring peace. It brought great discord in the human family. Those who believed that what happened to this cross was significant for them personally, and those who thought it was just another heretic, prophet, false teacher being put to death by the Romans on a cross. Nothing unusual about that. But what was unusual in this event, what was most significant in this event, was not the crucifixion, but who it was that was being crucified. You remember that it was two thieves and Jesus, right? Significant was Jesus. Who is he? He's the prophet, the priest, and the king. He's the one who has come to suffer and die for the sins of humanity. He proclaimed that in his ministry time and time again. And he also warned those who would not believe that theirs would be an eternity of punishment, death, and hell. He would that all would come to believe in him, but many rejected him. The most. Most of them did. Even his own folk would reject him. His own people, they would reject him. But Jesus went to that cross willingly to suffer and die for the sins of humanity. That's the good news. But there's something else in that. The flip side of that coin is what we call law. Law and gospel, sin and grace. Their side of that is the cross also represents what? Judgment. God's judgment. There, God punished sin and sinners. There at that cross. A judgment and an act of grace. All in that one person, Jesus Christ, and that one act on the cross. So that cross tells the world there is judgment for sin. And the world is very unhappy about judgment, about the worthlessness of their own efforts to earn God's favor, about their own self-righteous acts, their own religious activities, all for naught in the sight of a holy God. And yet, Jesus says, I go willingly to this cross to suffer and die for you. But in that moment, in that event of Christ's suffering and death, his resurrection, he ignited a fire. He ignited a fire that would divide nations and peoples and communities and even families, even until today. The event of that cross was a significant event of discord. Not of peace, but of discord. We'll get to the peace in a minute. But the discord comes when those who see the man on the cross as their Savior, the Messiah of God, and those who see him simply as a guy. Maybe a religious guy, even a good man, but only that. For they cannot accept the judgment upon their sin. But they are sinners in need of God's forgiveness and grace and mercy. But all those who looked at that cross and he who suffered on the cross as their Messiah, the suffering servant of God, for them the cross is life. And there is peace. It's not peace as the world knows, not harmony or concordia, as we say in our church, concordia, harmony among all people. It doesn't happen. But rather that peace is between a holy God and a sinful humanity. That peace and reconciliation is in the person and work of Jesus Christ and him alone. And all those who come to him by faith have this perfect peace between themselves and God. All in the person of Jesus Christ. When we say that there's peace on earth, it's peace in the person and work of Jesus himself. Not perfect harmony among all peoples, but peace in what Jesus has done. The word there is, in Hebrew would be shalom. All the blessings of God are poured out upon all those who come to Christ in that cross in need of forgiveness. Yours is the peace of God, the shalom of God, that surpasses all human understanding. All the blessings promised to Abraham and his descendants are yours. Yours. That's the great abundance that God gives you in Christ. Grace and peace without measure. But harmony among men? No. It will not happen. Discord. Great discord. Dissonance, not harmony. That's what that fire started. So we talk about Jesus and Christmas. If you go to Christmas and you think of peace on earth, just remember what that means. Peace between God and humanity, but not the peace that you think of as harmony and perfect tranquility in the world. It's not going to happen. Matter of fact, Jesus says, quite clearly, just the opposite consequence. And what ignites that fire today? The cross of love and the preaching of that cross. Every Christian carries that match. Every Christian carries the gospel of Jesus Christ and talks about the cross and the resurrection. Every congregation bears the torch of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our church collectively, it's a bonfire for those in the world. And for those who see Jesus as the Messiah, it's good news. The fires light the candle to the way to the living God, to the kingdom of heaven. But for those who remain in unbelief, great dissonance, great discomfort, anger. Look, the world's history books are littered with martyrs who have held that fire of the gospel, who brought it forward to distant lands, distant people who did not know Jesus. And many of them died because of it. And yet, they persisted in preaching the gospel in spite of the discord and the rejection that would happen. It behooves each and every one of you, me, our church, to strike that match, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell the world about sin and the consequence of sin, and to tell the world about grace in Jesus Christ, and his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness for each and every one of them. That's the fire that we have. That's the match that ignites. It's easy to become complacent. It's easy to sit in smoldering ash. We don't want any more fire. We go weary and tired. We live in stasis often. But yet, Jesus says at the conclusion of our text, he warned them. He said, you guys, you know when a hurricane's coming, right? You look on the television, the radio, you can see it. You can see it coming. It's tracking. We know it's coming. Lawrence, Matthew, we've had an experience with them lately. They tell us when a thunderstorm's coming. And for you folks who grew up with kind of close to the earth, you know, you don't even need those guys. You know bad weather's coming, right? And Jesus says, but you can't interpret the present time spiritually? Folks, the storm clouds are upon us. Let's not be naive. It behooves us to strike the match. The time is nigh. Now is the time to proclaim Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now is the time to tell folks about sin and about grace, about law, the laws of God, and about his perfect love for us. Now it's time. Let each and every one of us faithfully, and our church collectively, here at Advent, the Missouri Synod, our district, faithfully proclaim that gospel to a world that lies asleep in sin. Let us awaken them with the torch of righteousness in and through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.